by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet the trials here. And there'll be no trials on the other side, but the Lord gives us strength to meet them here, day by day. Kind of like manna from heaven. Each day, you got to go back and get more. Psalm 100. Appreciate Mr. Bauman fixing our sound equipment. Congratulations, Miranda Bauman, graduating from nursing school. Done. Here you are, all your stuff in town. Very good. Are you working yet? When do you start work?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Not
July 17th. Have you when are you taking that test? Okay, very good. Congratulations. Well done. She finished well, and we are so proud of her in a godly pride. You understand what I'm saying? We're so blessed at how well you did. And there you are. All right. Psalm 100. Oftentimes, Psalm 100 is used a little tongue-in-cheek when someone's singing a little off note. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God desires our praise and worship. And you know what? I think our praise ought to be that, just joyful. When you start thinking about what God has done for you, and man, you start singing about that, blessed assurance, how about this? Jesus is mine. Man, that's my story. It says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Reminds us there who's in charge. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and what? Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a powerful Psalm that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help this morning. God, we want to do just that. We want to praise you. Praise you for who you are. God, all that you've done, all that you know, all the power that you hold. God, thank you. Thank you that you revealed yourself to us. Thank you that you've made yourself known. Thank you that you are reachable. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to do it joyfully. We want to serve you with gladness. Lord, help us. God, use your word here, as we've already said, to reprove and rebuke, but at the same time exhort us. Lord, we need to hear from you right now, right here. Lord, be with Sunday school classes as they're going on, but Lord, be with those teachers. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, our final authority. Lord, it's such a blessing to have something that we can stand on, something that we can build on. God, with humility, may we open it here this morning and see ourselves in these passages. Lord, help us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, if you could read Psalm 100 and you weren't encouraged to be a child of God, I'd have to ask yourself, are you really a child of God? God desires our praise. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, man, there's not a, God's more pleased with America. No, all ye lands, it says. I've had the privilege, the blessing, the opportunity to travel a little bit. Man, hearing the tunes that you know sung to a different set of words or sounds, man, that's sweet. I just think the Lord's just so pleased with that. He wants us to make a joyful noise. I don't know how you could sing to the Lord with a frown on your face, thinking about who God is and who you are and what you got in on. Which brings us to verse 2. Our message today is this thought: serve the Lord with gladness. There's a lot of things that we can do with our time and efforts, but I'll tell you the most valuable thing you can do is serve the Lord. And not just serve the Lord, serve Him with gladness. Often misunderstood. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It in our own life, we'll try and make it look, maybe this is a good analogy. There you are at the workplace, and you're trying to look busy so your boss leaves you alone. Just get your hands moving, get them doing stuff. Busy, but are you getting anything done? Sometimes we try and look busy to the Lord, but are we truly serving Him with gladness? Well, I'm here and I'm there. That's good. And we'll look about that. But the key connection between our service to the Lord and us is our heart. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want to encourage you here today to serve the Lord. Say, I serve the Lord. Good. Keep serving Him. Don't give up. Don't quit. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. God says you were purchased. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. As a servant of the Lord, we have to remember this very important fact. A servant is not his own. Bible told us in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 18, you got bought. It was expensive. Say, what did it cost? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it took to redeem your soul. Not money, it said, not silver, not gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible asks us this question, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Look at this phrase. And ye are not your own. Oh, no. I'm here. I'm going to make my own decisions. Not as a Christian, you're not. God said, here's what I want for you. I want you to live like this. Well, that's so narrow. This is the best plan for your life. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. What was that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased you. He bought you. Therefore, because of all of that, because a servant is not his own, and we have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because of what He purchased you, you now have a purpose, a reason for the purchase. Ever buy something and get it home and go, why did I get this? Maybe you were, I remember a number of times, and it didn't happen a lot, but it did happen a number of times. We'd get home and empty out the grocery bags. Remember grocery bags? Those were good. And plastic bags, and love those. And there we are, and we're bringing the bags in, and we're putting them on the kitchen table or on the counter, emptying those things out. And sure enough, as you empty that out, all of a sudden, like, hey, where did this candy bar come from? Did you get this there? No, I didn't get it. Why'd you get a candy bar? I didn't buy a candy bar. Son? Well, how did we get this? Why? Or maybe you purchased something at the store and had lofty ideas. Oh, if I get this tool, I'm gonna be a master woodworker. And well, let me tell you, there's some skill that's needed behind the tool. And you get that thing and, man, I don't know how to use this, or what is the purpose in this? Do you understand that Christ purchased you with a reason? He spilled His blood for you to save you that you might glorify Him. That's what it says. And ye are not your own. Now, I'm my own boss. No, you're not. You're a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Is your life glorifying God? are you serving the Lord, or are you living for yourself? Because those are the two. Do I live for me? Do I serve me? Or do I serve God? Well, you are purchased. You are not your own. We belong to Him. We're different than when He found us. Look at Romans chapter number 6. A servant is not his own. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Hey, let me let you in on a little something. You've always been a servant. The question is, what are you serving? Before Christ, it says this: you were a servant of sin. Unfortunately, that has a cost. I'm only 45. To some, that's old. To some, that's young. I don't know. Right in the middle there. But I've seen lives that have served sin. So how does that go? I'll tell you this. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's one of guilt and hurt and destructiveness. I've seen young people taught what was right, been in the church house and said, I don't want any of that. I don't want the God of my father, and I'm out. That doesn't go well. That does not go well. God be thanked that ye were, underline that, highlight that, circle that, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, look at now, and being then made free from sin. So listen, you were a servant of sin. You've been freed from sin, but you're still a servant. I don't like that. You became the servants of righteousness. So which one are you serving? Are you serving sin? Or are you serving righteousness? Hey, as a Christian, you're different than before. A servant's not his own. You've been purchased. You've been purchased with a purpose. I'm going to take this and I'm going to use this. What is it? To glorify God. You belong to Him. And there's no better way to live your life as a Christian. Every day we ought to wake up and say, God, here I am again. How can I be used? A servant is not his own. Number two, a servant does the will of his master. John chapter number 6. Let me just say this about this thought here this morning. Lest you, in no way am I endorsing ownership of humans outside of God controlling our life. I've heard some foolish things about serving the Lord and just foolishness about that. Hey, as a child of God, He's our master and we're His servant. If those phrases bother you, I don't know. You got bigger problems than that. John chapter number 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven. This is Christ speaking. For I came down from heaven not to do... Did I tell you John 6? Are we still in John 6? Sometimes I transpose numbers. Verse 38. Jake, is that where you're at? Okay. Jake's in charge, so that's good. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's Christ speaking about doing the will of the Father. And if we're going to follow in His steps, it's a good idea for us to do the same. And this is the Father's will, which He has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. and I will raise him up at that last day. God, Christ said, I'm not here doing my will. I'm doing the will of the Father. You know what we should say? As a servant, I am not my own. I'm just here to do the will of my Master. Who's that? God Himself. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. In verse 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. All right, who's your master? The Lord is. Servants, well, I was a servant of sin. What'd that look like? I had to be obedient to the servant of sin. How did that go for you? Miserable. It's a wreck. We haven't lost the title of servant because God is our master. He will always be our master, always making us the servant. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Oh, look at this phrase. And singleness of your heart as unto Christ. As I said before, it's not just about our service to the Lord, but our service to the Lord with gladness, with singleness of heart. That is so perfectly demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if it will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Hey, that we would have that same attitude. God, what is your will for my life, and I just want to do it. The servant does the will of the master. I'm not all about that. Oh yeah, you going to work tomorrow. You go into work tomorrow, and the boss says, all right, here's your project for this month. This is what you're going to do. You know what? I don't want to do that. Oh, really? Okay. Hold on a second. Let's have a meeting. And all of a sudden, you go behind a closed door, and boom. And then all of a sudden, the supervisor's sitting there, right? Little Johnny over here doesn't want to do his job. Is that true, Johnny? Yeah, I think, okay, there's the door. Goodbye. That's what will happen. Well, that's what should happen. World so backward. Anyways. Hey, we do the will of the master. God, what do you want me to do? Imagine us going to God, telling God what for and how things ought to run. Are you kidding me? Outside of my Bible, I like to try and read. And I told you this, I think I said this Wednesday night. If you need a good book, let me know. I'll help you get in a good book club, and we can talk about it, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Needless to say, I picked up a Tozer book this week. Whew. Knowledge of the Holy. Whoa, brother. I have to read it out loud so I understand what I'm talking about. It's all about Him. I have no position to tell God how to do anything. Because He knows more. He's always been. How about this? Let's just bring it way down. Your kids come in and start telling you how to run life. You're 5-year-old, right? Mom, Dad, this is how things... Listen, you have no idea about life. Us coming to God and telling God how things ought to be. You have no idea. No idea. God and His omnipotence, His power, His knowledge, His everlasting, His attributes, His character. I'm reading about things and being reminded about things about God again in His very nature that I can't even comprehend. He has always been. And I'm going to tell Him how to fix things. No. As the servant, I just need to listen to the master. Son, daughter, you just need to do what I tell you to do. Well, I don't understand. There's going to be some things that you're just not going to get. You just got to do what God says. And do it with gladness and with singleness of heart. As unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Hey, we're not here to impress anybody. We're here to glorify God. Remember, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what it told us. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, you are purchased to glorify God. Well, I want everyone to love me and like me. Well, that's good. I think it shouldn't go around making enemies. But at the end of the day, it's pleasing the Lord. That means you might have to say no to some things. That means when the flesh says, hey, it's time to, I don't want to, and you might have to say, you know what? I love God, and I want to serve God, and I want my life to glorify God. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have part of that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to fellowship with that. I'm not going to surround myself with that. I'm going to say no. Why? Because I want to glorify God. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. Because I'm not my own. How many of you were in the United States military? Yeah, sure. You come in there day one and you start telling your commanding officer, how about that, Mr. Marine? And you go over there and your drill sergeant gets kind of close to you, right? And he cares about you and he wants to help you and he wants to do things and he's telling you what for. You know, excuse me, sir, my mom doesn't talk to me like this. I don't think you could... Oh, man. How'd that go, brother? Hey, remember, we're not here to please anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I don't think you should be mean, but what does God say? You're going to have to say no to some things. Why? Because just like in the military, you were there for a purpose. You were there for, hey, we've been created for a purpose. And that's to glorify God. And if this thing over here goes against glorifying God, well, I don't feel like I want to do that. Oh, you don't feel like running at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's fine. Tomorrow we're getting up at 4. And we're going to run till your feet literally fall off. Because it's not about you. And we start telling God, no, this doesn't make me, I'm not comfortable. Yeah, but does it glorify God? Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of who? Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall we receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, God sees it all. God, I just want to serve you as best as I possibly can. God says, I see that, and I'll reward you for that. The best thing you can do with your life is serve the Lord. The best use of your time, the best use of your resources is to serve the Lord, to do the will of your master. Because quite honestly, you just don't know. You just don't know. Number one, a servant is not his own. Number two, a servant does the will of his master. Number three, go to Exodus 21. Going way back. Exodus 21. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of Exodus 21. Exodus is the second book of your Bible. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou hast set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the 7th he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she bore him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Look at verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, look at what it says, I love my master. Can I ask you that today? You're the servant. God's the master. Can you say, I love my master? Has your master ever done you wrong? Has he ever done anything but good to you? I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. The master said, all right, we need to make this permanent then. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I think that's what the Lord desires from us. I'm going to ask you here today, 1, who are you serving? 2, do you serve because you love your master? Well, I've seen service driven out of duty, not love. It looks a lot different. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 24. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How do we serve? We serve patiently. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. A servant serves because of love, patiently. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Young people, next time you go into a council meeting and your aunt, how many of you have like a family reunions? Anybody have family reunions or family get-togethers? And there you are, you're a young person, and you're that cousin or somebody. Oh, what are you gonna do now? You're finishing school. What do you want to be? I know what I want to be. I want to be a servant. What's wrong with your kid? I want to be a servant of the living God. Man. Hope you not get invited to the next family get-together. Just trying to help you out. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, peacefully and patient, because we love the Lord. As you read verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. As we saw, as a servant, he's not his own. He does the will of the master. And as doing the will of the master, it's not concerned about your own needs. It's about the needs of others. That's what a true servant is. Say, that's humbling. That is the heart of servitude. Humility. You can't be proud and be a servant. Not with gladness. Why? Because that pride will get in there and say, you deserve and you are entitled to and you ought to be. It just goes contrary to that. Imagine if Christ started showing forth pride when he's getting nailed to the cross. Wait a second, I deserve. And he rightfully did deserve. But what if in our own life we're trying to serve and in an effort to minister and serve, all of a sudden that ugly head, ugly, and destructive character trait of pride starts coming out. You know what? You stop seeing the needs of others, and you get asphyxiated on your own personal wants. Why isn't anybody caring for me? Why doesn't? Just stop. Stop. Correct your mind. Correct your heart. You know what? Miserable people. People that serve without gladness are the proud ones. The ones that serve with gladness and singleness of heart are the humble ones. That's just how it goes. Because you can't have pride and please the Lord. A servant serves because of love. A love for God and a love for others. As we saw in Exodus chapter number 21, when that servant comes to the master and says, "Listen, I'm not here for a few moments. I'm here for life." He says, "All right, come stand over here by the..." He brings him before the judges and tell them what he said. He says, "I would like to be here. I would like to serve this master for the rest of my life, my entire family, my wife, my children, everybody." And he says, "Are you saying that of your own free will?" "Yes, of my own free will." "All right, go stand by that post." And he takes that awl and he puts a hole right through his ear. Boom. And everybody knew. To show everybody that they were a willing servant of the master. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 again. In verse 18, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Isn't that good? "Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Know what that is? That's me standing at the post with the, and the Lord has the awl, and he says, "Are you ready?" "Yes, God, I want to serve you with my entire life." "Hey, do you understand what that means? You're going to have to say no to some things." "Yep." Boom. Man. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You know, I've talked to some people about that passage, and there's some conflict over there. So you see, God says, "Okay, I want to use you, but not you. Here's a vessel unto honor and some to dishonor." No, we are the ones that control whether we want to be a vessel unto honor or dishonor. "If a man therefore purge himself from" what? The list that follows. If you want to say no to iniquity, God says, "I got a plan for you. I'd like to use you. I can use you to serve me." Hey, let's not be so naive to think that God doesn't desire and want holiness for our life. There is a wave of Christianity that says you can live like the devil and love God. I don't know. I just read what it says and what God desires from us. He wants us holy. He wants us sanctified. And I think if we really love the Lord and we're standing with our head up against that post saying, "All right, God, I'm all in. I want to serve you out of love," that ought to look a little different. A servant is a marked man. See, what does it look like? Philippians chapter number 2. I think it looks more on the inside than it does on the outside. Can I tell you that? A servant of God. Oh, it's got to have a high haircut, or it's got to be this or that. How about this? Philippians chapter number 2. I think it's really important what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. Say, what do you mean? And nowhere in the scriptures, outside of the book of Revelation, when Jesus Christ comes back, are we given a description of what Christ looks like. Why? Because it does not matter. Doesn't matter. Did he have a dark complexion or light complexion? Olive skin? I think olive. I mean, that's where I'm going with it. I know he had a beard. Doesn't matter, though. What does it matter? It mattered his heart. What does it matter about you? Your heart. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of" what? Of a servant. and was made in the likeness of man, and being formed in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. Hey, what's that mark look like as a servant of God? Humble. It'll set you apart from everybody else. Why? Because when someone truly served God with love and humility, that's like someone with a big hole in their ear. That stands out. That stands out. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So how about you today? A servant is not his own. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? So I don't know. God tells us that we can know. I know whom I have believed. Amen. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he committed unto him against that day. I've put my life in his hands. And I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ. I humbled myself and I said, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and you're the only way. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you his? No, I'm my own. No, you're not. You're either a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. Which one is it? There's no middle ground. Are you, as a servant of righteousness, are you doing the will of the Master? Do you ask God, God, what do you want with my life? Do you serve him because you love him? Again, service out of love looks much different than service out of duty. Are you a marked man? Are you a marked servant? Not a hole in your ear, but a heart of humility. Did you spiritually put your face up to the post and say, all right, punch it. I'm going to say no to iniquity. I'm going to try and live holy. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to turn away from some things. And I want to live and serve you, God. Because it's not about me. It's about you getting glory. It is the highest calling of all. A servant, a servant. William Carey is called the father of modern day missions. He served the Lord for many years in India. He had a son, became very concerned about his attitude. His name was Felix. The young man had promised to become a missionary, but he went back on his vows when he was appointed an ambassador to Burma by the Queen of England. Carey wrote to a couple of his friends asking prayer for his son with these words. Pray for Felix. He is degenerated into an ambassador for the British government when he should be serving the King of Kings. I wonder if the Lord, or if we looked at our life and have we sold out the Lord to serve somebody else? Who are you serving today? Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you doing it right with love and humility? Are you a marked man? Let's all stand. A servant is not his own, is bought with a price. If you're here today and you're not saved, say, I don't know for sure. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'd love to talk with you. Maybe you've been serving yourself. I know this isn't a popular message. Maybe you've been serving, listen now, I want you to be honest with yourself. Just really think about this. Because we're not doing this for other people. We're doing this for the Lord. Have you been serving because of your love and humility in God? Can you evaluate that in your heart? I serve because I want others to see me. I serve because I want to be recognized. I serve because it makes me feel good. Or I serve because I love the Lord, regardless. Do you serve Him with humility? There's a big difference. Heavenly Father, we ask You bless this time of invitation. And Lord, may we be open and honest with You. Lord, it is the greatest thing in the world to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Forgive us when we serve ourselves, serve sin. Lord, may we with humility of heart and singleness of heart serve You wholly. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?